Happy New Year's, everybody. My name's Natalie. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey,
hey guys. My sobriety date is March 7th, 2021. I have a sponsor, and I've gone through the 12 steps of AA. At this time, I don't have a sponsee, but I'm definitely open to it, especially more now than ever. And I consider the Breakfast Club to be my home group. So, a little background. I was born in Buffalo, New York, but I moved around a lot because I was a Navy brat. I was raised in a really, really strict religious home. It was almost cult-like. It put a lot of fear in me about God, a lot of rules. At the age of 9, my 5-year-old brother was hit by a car, and he died. That really devastated our family. My parents packed us up and made us move to Florida, away from any family support whatsoever. And it really confused me about God. I felt like I had lost my parents. They went into pretty severe grief. I don't actually remember the first time I drank. My parents weren't drinkers. I didn't see them start drinking until I was in my 20s, so that wasn't really much of an influence. But by the time I was 13, my self-will went into overdrive. I was into drugs, alcohol, sex. I was doing anything that I could to escape my reality. Okay, it's not too bad. from the ages of 18 to 20, it's just one big blackout. I do get memories as people share their stories. I do get memories of what it was that I was doing, and I'm like, holy crap, I didn't remember I was doing those things. They're not very fond memories. When I was 18, I was introduced to cocaine, and I absolutely loved it. But I quickly learned that I couldn't afford it, didn't want to be like my roommate who was selling herself for it, so I swore to myself I would never do it again, and I didn't. I didn't pick it up. But it wasn't until I came into the program that I realized that I had been fantasizing about doing cocaine like it was a long-lost lover. Like, I still had that deep desire, even though I swore I would never pick it up again. And that just kind of further proves that the disease centers in our mind. About a few months after I turned 20, I came to understand God's love and forgiveness. And then a week later, I met my husband and we were married. Because of the denomination that we were in, the church denomination that we were in, they didn't believe in drinking, so I didn't drink for about 2 years, but we changed denominations, and then it wasn't wrong in God's eyes. But unfortunately, I had forgotten who I was and did not understand addiction, so I started drinking again. In my 20s, I wasn't a heavy drinker. I do remember a pastor and his wife pulling my husband, me, and our friends into a little conference and reprimanding us for our behaviors at Universal Studios. And I was drinking with my kids when I was driving, but I wasn't taking responsibility. I was like, oh, I didn't know I was drunk until I got in the highway, so I couldn't be responsible for it. That was my thought process. I was really fit and into diet and exercise, so it really helped me keep my drinking to a minimum. By the time I was 30, I had 4 children, and we moved here to Georgia. If any of you guys know, we moved to Bridge Mill, which in Bridge Mill, drinking at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday with your kids playing ball is a very normal thing. And my drinking went into a roller coaster ride. I did try to stop drinking for a year with success, but went right back to it. And I think it got worse. And I tried drinking only on the weekends, only eliminating just liquor. And deep down inside, I just knew this wasn't the life that I wanted, but I didn't know how to stop. It was really hard because my husband was a really heavy drinker too, and so I hid behind that as an excuse. And him and I tried stopping together and controlling it, but we just weren't. It was just a struggle. But I was using him as an excuse constantly. There was a time when I felt like God was saying to me, Natalie, stop using him as an excuse. You have a relationship with me, and you need to do this. And so I did. I stopped for 3 months. And then I went to Tennessee to see my dad, and he offered me a drink, and I caved in. And an hour later, I got a phone call that my husband had gotten into an accident and got a DUI. Now, that him getting the DUI is not my responsibility, and I still don't understand it to this day, but I feel like it was God saying, warning me that you need to be responsible for you. But I didn't. I just got more resentful and angry, and it was at that point, I think I just gave up. I was like, fuck it, I'm not trying anymore. And I actually, I'm not saying this because it's New Year's Day, I absolutely despised New Year's Day and resolutions and swore that I wouldn't make them anymore. What was the point? I'm 33 years old now. I went back to college, or I went to college, and I was really pleasantly surprised that I was smart, and I got into nursing school. I had no idea. There was a class on drugs and alcohol that we had to take as nurses or nursing students, and I learned that I was drinking like 5 times the amount that a woman should be drinking. I guess women should only be drinking like 5 to 7 drinks a week. I think it was then that I started questioning whether I was an alcoholic or not. And I was especially resentful that the men were allowed 14 drinks a week. And I was far exceeding what a man should be drinking. So I went and worked in the hospital, and I actually held several hands of dying alcoholics. I think it was then that I became really deeply aware that I was living a double life. And I didn't realize it at the time. I thought it was empathy that I had for my alcoholic patients, but now I realize that I knew what the struggle was, that I felt I was one of them, and I felt God was warning me, but I just kept shoving it down. I didn't want to look at it. Actually, this side note, I would drink alcohol in my nursing mind. I would sit on the toilet drunk and go, I know exactly how this is processing through my body and what it's doing to my kidneys, but I still couldn't stop it. So when I was working at the hospital, I got a second job as a home infusion nurse. It was around that time I was sitting at the nurse's station. I was talking to one of the nurses, and I said, oh, my God, it's been a whole entire year, and there's not been one day that hasn't gone by that I haven't been drinking. And I actually just remembered a couple days ago that I was coming to the hospital still. I think there was at least one time where I had come into my shift, and I think I still had alcohol in my system, so it was getting really bad. So around April of 2020, I picked up a patient who was about a year sober and was definitely not shy about sharing his story. It was there that I admitted to him that I thought I might be an alcoholic. So he bought me a big book, and I read parts of it, but mainly it sat on my nightstand. It sat on my nightstand, and I'd set my glass of wine on top of it every single night. For about 9 months, it was my coaster. It really was. It's kind of sad. I saw him every month, and he continued to share his journey with me. And his hope and his experience was beginning to settle in me. Even though I was still drinking, it was bringing hope to me and releasing me from the obsession. I started seeing that his story was helping me. So anyways, I was still drinking though. And then about 6 months later, I went to see another patient for another nurse. And this patient, he had a retreat to go to after his infusion. And I'm kind of nosy, so I asked him about it. And he told me that God put it in his heart to share with him that this retreat was an AA retreat, and it was something that he did yearly. And so that opened up the conversation, and he shared his story, and I really identified with him. It was, I think, at that point that I identified as an alcoholic. But I still was not done drinking yet, and 3 months later, I picked up another new patient, and this was in February, and she was a nurse and an alcoholic, and I had gone into her bathroom right before her infusion, and I saw Grapevine magazines, and I came out, and I was like, what is Grapevine magazines? And she shared with me, she pulled out her big book, which was hanging on by a thread, and she shared with me that she had been 13 years sober, and I had to go and see her 2 weeks later. And as I was driving to her house, I hit a point where I drove into a bubble, and God just opened my eyes to how broken I was. And at that point, I got into her house, got her all set up, and then just fell apart and said, I'm ready. I want to change. I want something different. And this is, and she's my sponsor now. So looking back at how God placed these three specific patients in my life shows me that he was doing for me what I could not do for myself. I mean, it's a little humbling as a nurse that it's my patients that drove me to that, but he knew exactly what he was doing. And I look back at it, and my first patient, he was giving me hope and knowledge. And then my second patient, I identified with him as an alcoholic. And then my third patient, now my sponsor, is her commitment in the presence of God, and just being able to say I'm willing, and my willingness was there. So now we're here to the part where, to this part. I came in to the program, and I was really, really confused about, I was really confused about God. I was like, how is it that I knew God loved me and I had a relationship with him, but I was still an alcoholic? And I wrestled around with that for a good 3 months. And I think, I don't know if I ever really got the answer to that, but my relationship with God just started changing. I started feeling his nearness, and beginning to truly rely on Him, and constantly reminding myself, Thy will be done. About 3 or 4 months after being sober, my 14-year-old son tried to commit suicide. I didn't bring those tissues. Freak, I left them over there. It's okay, maybe that'll stop the flow. He tried to commit suicide, and because of my sponsor and relying on God every minute of the day and the 12 steps, I was able to walk through that with him. And he actually now uses the I Am Sober app. He uses it as the, like, no, I haven't self-harm. And he's at like 6 months, so him and I share where we're at with our app. When I came into the program, I was full of fear and self-pity, a lot of fear and self-pity. And it wasn't until six months that I realized I had thought I had become an alcoholic after I was married. I was still not owning up to my part of it. And when I was first started writing my speaker meeting, God showed me that I had become an alcoholic when I was a teenager, that it had started then. Sorry. When I made the decision to stop drinking, I didn't tell my husband for a few weeks. I was too afraid to, and I will be honest with you, it was not met with support, and that has been 9 months of just using the steps and relying on God to walk through that. But I can tell you that if you live with somebody that is a drinker, you can walk out of it. You can do it. And I never thought I could. But it takes a lot of me owning up to my own stuff. That's you. This is me. This is what my responsibility is in it. I was talking to a friend, and he was telling me, he's like, do you use the Waze app? And Waze is the GPS system. And he's like, have you ever had Waze try to reroute you, and you don't listen to it, and you just stay on the course that you intended to and you didn't get off, and then you're sitting there in traffic for hours and you should have gotten off? When he was sharing that story with me, it kind of reminded me of my sponsor. My sponsor is, your sponsor is a Waze app. If it's telling you to get off so that you can avoid the traffic of life, listen to him or her, because you're going to be stuck. Where am I at with time? Am I doing good? Oh, sweet. Okay. Because I'm almost done. Okay. Huh? Drag it out? Dang it, I thought you guys would be start walking away. So let's see. I will say that if any of y'all had said last year that I could walk into Christmas and New Year's without being obsessed or afraid of drinking, I would not have believed you. And I have this holiday, Christmas and New Year's especially, I am just amazed at I haven't feared going into the holidays, and it's so amazing to just not be sitting there obsessing about alcohol, that I can just enter in and be present and be excited to be with my family. And I'm going to have to drag this out more because I'm almost done. I will, about the 12th, oh, that's the other thing I love about the 12 steps. Somebody just pointed out, and you guys probably already all know this, but it was really enlightening to me. So with the 12 steps, the first step is the only one that talks about alcohol. And then the last 11 steps are all about how to live life. And that just recently just really hit me about how it's just, they only mention alcohol once and the rest is just beginning to live life. And yeah. Anyways, that is all I have, guys. I don't have a lot.
No problem. Good job,
Natalie. Oh. There was one other thing I had to say. Okay. There's another thing too. One other thing I just remembered. It's not big or anything. So with my sponsor, I was really afraid of her. Very afraid of her, and she has me call her in the morning and at night, and I was so resentful towards her. She probably ended up in my inventory more than I care to admit to her. I hated calling her, and it wasn't until about I was 7 months sober that I finally, I think, stopped hiding. When I saw myself starting to go under and hide, I got to a point where, like, why am I fighting this? So I would just text her and say, I'm hiding. And then I would be able to pick up the phone and call her. And I was so mad at her for making me call her 2 times a day. But now I've gotten to a point in my sobriety where I see how important it is to stay accountable to her. And if I am hiding, I can tell her, I'm hiding, I'm going under, and she's so loving and accepting, and I always am constantly thinking I'm going to get, when I pick up that phone, that she is going to, she's going to be angry with me, and the hammer's going to come down on me, and she doesn't, she just meets me with grace, and she's tough. Like, I'll get on the phone with her, and I'll tell her, you know, so-and-so did this and that, and she'll go, sounds like it's your issue. And I'm like, damn it, fine, you're right. And then I have to take ownership for where it is with what I am doing in the process. And okay, that's all I have now.